In this week's Parashat HaShavua, the Torah tells us, Ki al pi ha-dvorim ha'ele, karati itcha brit b'et Yisrael. Chazal comment that Ribono Shel Olam consummated a brit with Klal Yisrael, revolving around Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah then records, a bit later, Ki karan orpana b'dabro ito. To a large extent, Moshe Rabbeinu became the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael in the context of this wrist that the Torah records, and Torah Shebaal Peh is the very epicenter of what we're all about. If there's anyone, Bizmanenu, certainly, who's a major articulate spokesman for Torah Shebaal Peh, with an illustrious Mesorah from Harav Soloveitchik Zatzal, it's Rav Herschel Schechter, who's guided an entire generation, and Baruch Hashem, for many years, will continue to guide us and transmit that rich and illustrious Mesorah that Rashi describes that Moshe Rabbeinu did in the context of the Gemara Erevin. We're honored to have such a proponent of Torah Shebaal Peh to represent us and help us and enlighten us in terms of our Mesorah.
While Rav Schechter gets up, please everybody put your phones on silent. Thank you.
We all know that if I use the shana of my rabbi and he gives me a tzak, the tzak is binding. You're obligated to listen to the tzak. Why is that so? He's only a human being. Human beings can make errors. So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes from the Tanoim, the pasuk says, when you have kipodim kodov la mishpat, you have a machlokes in your community, diber rivis b'sharecha, you go ask the Bez Navar for their opinion, and their tzak is binding. And it says in the pasuk, you have to listen, v'sasa yomim esmol. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, I feel like you mentioned smol, well, smol shul yomim. The simple reading of the Rashi implies that the tzak of the Rabbanim is binding, even if it's an error. And the reason why the Pesach of the Bez Nagodl is binding is not only because they're the Bez Nagodl. Bez Nagodl has the dinos of Imam, the one who passes against them, Chochm Shigir Lairo, who passes against the Bez Nagodl, is Chayb Nisit. But the din of Lo Sosur, we assume Malpi Pashnus applies to Rabbi Mubok. Whenever you have your, the reason why the Pesachim of the Bez Nagodl are binding is because they're everybody's Rabbi Mubok. Places writes in Brochus that the Gdoli Hador have the status of Rabbi Mubak of all of the people in that generation, even if you never met these Gedolei Hador. The Gemara says that Shmuel was brought as a young child to Eli, and he issued an opinion against Eli, and the Gemara says, it's Meir HaLoch B'fnei Rabbi, so they say that he never met Eli before. How could he call that? How he considered Meir HaLoch B'fnei Rabbi? So Tosfos says, and it's quoted in Yerudeya, Tosfos says that since Eli was the Gadol Hador, one day the Gadol Hador, he had the status of Rabbi Mubak of all of the people in the generation, even though Shmuel was a young child, had never met him before. So that's why the Pesachim of the Bez Nagodl are binding, because they are Rabbi Mubak of all of the people, they are the Gadol Hador. So the Pashtus is that the Pesach of my Rabbi Mubak is binding on me, even if it's an error. That's the simple shot. Many years ago, Herman Hook taught at the Yeshiva. He taught literature, so he told the students that the theme of his book, The Cain and Yud, is based on this Rashi, that authority is binding even when it's an error. And then one of the students told him that he broke his heart, and he told him that that's not pshat in the Chazal, it can't be, because the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvot raises the issue that you study Mishnah Yisariyas. The opening Mishnah says that the Bez Nagodl, not only Rabbi Bez Nagodl gave him stock, and somebody knows that they made a mistake, saying, I'm not father of the Tzak of the Bez Nagodl. And the Talmud Yerushalmi comments on that opening Mishnah in Harias, based on the Pasuk, V'sasa yom v'smol, yom v'shul yimin, v'smol shul smol. So what do you do with this Rashi and Chumash? The Pashtus is that there's only one area of Halacha where the Tzak is binding even when it's an error, that's in Kiddush HaKodesh, and perhaps also in Ibar HaShana, because the Pasuk says several times, in Parsha Samar, Eli Ad Hashem Shetikru Osam. And the word Osam is spelled Chosavov. We believe that the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter, And that's why the Gemara has many drushes based on Balei and Chosen. The Bachar of the Yeshivas, they run quickly, they don't notice it. But there are Svarim written about this. We have many drushes in the Gemara based on Balei and Chosen. We believe that the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. The Gemara in Suvis has a drusha. How come the word Naira sometimes spelled with a sometimes without a? The Gemara explains up the Abachar. Why sometimes with a, sometimes without a, even though it's pronounced all the time Na'ara? So by Kiddush HaKodesh, with respect to the Yom Tovim, it says El Miyad Hashem Shetikro also, and without a vav, so it's little were written Atem. Atem Achim Lamutim, even to the Bez Meidim, said. And Rashi quotes in his commentary on Chumash Vayikra, on Parsha Zimar, Rashi quotes from the first Qa'anim, that it appears three times in the Parsha, that phrase, that Pasuk. The Rashi says one goes on Kiddush HaKodesh and one goes on Yibur HaShem. So that's a discussion that the Menchastina has on the other side. Is that really accepted? That we really hold that Atem Afilu Butim even applies to Yibur HaShana? Or only to Kiddush HaKodesh? The Menchastina has a lot. Mashua and others have a discussion. That's the only area in Halacha where the Pesach is binding even if it's an error. Because that's the only area the Bezin has a right to do it. Atem Afilu Mizidim. The Edim come and they say he saw the Levana. If for some reason or another the Bezin doesn't want to make today as Rosh Chodesh, they don't want Yom Kippur to fall out on Friday or Sunday, so the Bezin has a right to go against the Metzias. Or the Bezin should make, this year is a normal year, there's no reason to make Yibur HaShana, let's say, this year. Everything is fine, but there's a snowstorm in Europe, and a lot of people are traveling horseback to come to Eretz Yisrael to participate in Korban Pesach. So because of the people and that there's so much time and money coming to Eretz Yisrael, so there's not God, we'll make Yibur HaShana to accommodate them. So that's a din. Atem Afilim is eaten. Bezin has a right. Those in charge of Kiddush HaKodesh and Yibur HaShana have a right to declare Kiddush HaKodesh or not to declare Kiddush HaKodesh or to declare Yibur HaShana even if it's not because there's an issue that the Pesach will not fall out in Chodesh Avodah. They have a political reason. That's another reason why. So there the din is that Atem Afilu Mutim, even if the Bezin made a mistake also, because that's the only case where the Pesach doesn't have to be based on the Shach with the Tari. You don't have to write the whole Tshuva. It says in the Torah, and the Torah Shabbat Peh says, and therefore we took a lot, you don't need a Tukul over there. If they want that, they can make Kiddush HaKodesh and Yibur HaShana without any reasons at all. Not corresponding to what it should correspond. So if they made a mistake also, it's fine. But in other areas of Allah, the other 612 mitzvahs, there is no such thing. That the Pesach is binding even if it's an error. There are those Balabatim who have an attitude, I've never heard from more than one person. There in America, there are many Hashgachas. So also many Hashgachas. So in America, some of them are known to be non-reliable. So not reliable. Hashgachas say you don't need. So some Balabatim have the attitude, no, Rabbi X said that it's kosher, I can eat it. Hi, Rabbi X is not reliable, so he's going to burn again because he told me to eat it. Atem Afilu, I mentioned it was small. He said it's kosher, so I have a right to listen to him. But he knows that he doesn't know what he's talking about, so he's going to, with me. If I know he's not reliable, so I'm not allowed to eat. There's no din. Atem Afilu Mutim, a tzak of a rabbi, is by the way, it's an error. It's certainly not correct. So what does it mean? I mentioned it was small, but small shame. It's a different interpretation we're given. Rabbi Chana Basman has a very fascinating suggestion. I think he was the first one to come up with this. I don't know if he was sharing that idea. He says the Gemara has a principle, Yeshkach Ve'ach HaChamim, Lakadot Ben HaTorah, sometimes B'Shei Ve'altas, or sometimes B'Kumin. I say the Torah says you have to blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and it's understood you have to blow Shofar even in Rosh Hashanah happens to fall down on Shabbos. The Torah says you have to put in tzitzis, in the Vegas of Pishtan, and Chacham Medi Gzer, they don't permit you to put in tzitzis in the Vegas of Pishtan, make them out of Nichshol. The Torah says, everybody has to bring the Korban Pesach, and Erev Pesach, and the Chacham Medi Gzer, the Rabban, a Gersh and his Gar, and Erev Pesach shouldn't bring the Korban Pesach for whatever reason. So the Chacham are not telling you to violate what it says in the Torah. So where in the world did the rabbis get this idea? We know, Ushmartim, that's Mishmarti, the concluding Pesach, Pasha, Zachary, Moses, that the Torah authorizes the Chachamim to make Zeres, Asesi of Matur, is based on the Pasuk, Mishmartem is Mishmarti. But how do you know the Chachamim may have a right to make Zeres of Rabban, Bakira, Dov, and Atura? They tell you, don't carry in a karma, don't write with your left hand on Shabbos, don't do Malachash in Tzvich al Gufa. How do you know they have a right to tell you a Zeres? Don't blow Shaykhra on Hashem, Shalom, and Shabbos. Here's the matter. So Chaim says he thinks it's based on this pasuk. I mentioned this mom of Moshe. Not that the rabbis made a mistake. They're telling you don't listen to the Torah. So the authority vested in us as the rabbis, we have to make a zera. Don't listen to the pasuk. That's his suggestion. The Ramban and the Rishonim is really the first one who raised the issue. How do these two jive? The Sifrei Darshan's Alimishu is small, and the first Mishnah Maria says Hakeh. So the Ramban raises the issue. There are others have a discussion. Also, you look in the end of the Malamid Lahoy, he has a short essay about this, and he gives you some of the Rishonim and Akharim will discuss the top. So the Ramban says that the Girsa, he thinks the Girsa in the Sifrei should be Akhilunir and the Enech Alimishu is small, else no Shayimim. As that person goes to the doctor tells him he has such a condition and he should do this. And he asks, what do you, the doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. What's Haktachai? My uncle had the condition and he did this, and my grandmother had this condition and that. He told me I should do this, it doesn't make sense. You're a layman, what do you know what you're talking about? He's the doctor. Some he knows better. So let's say, I mix two chemicals. So this chemical is peaceful, this chemical is peaceful. You're going to tell me mix two chemicals, it's going to make an explosion. It doesn't make any sense. But if a guy's a chemist, he knows it does make sense. How can it be, if this is yellow and this is green, how can it be this is going to turn white? How can it be? It's not going to be yellow, it's not going to be green. You have to know chemistry, you have to know physics, so you'll understand. So the same in halacha, a layman has teichot balabatim. And a tam chacham understands better. So a lot of times the rabbi will give a psak that the balabatim will think his kaka, but think it doesn't make any sense. So you think that that's what it means. After the near in the end, even if you think the psak of the rabbi it doesn't make any sense, you should assume that the rabbi is not making a mistake. Not that the tzak is biting even when it's there. You should assume the rabbi is not making a mistake. What if the person is positive that the rabbi is making a mistake? No, the rabbi is biting making mistakes. And of course you're not allowed to follow. That's the opening mission in our ears. So that's the question. When do you say, I know for sure, when is the rabbi biting making a mistake? And when is it only I think he's making a mistake? So that's a major question. Okay, a lot of people think that they're smarter than the rabbi. Think the rabbi's God are making mistakes. Okay, that's an issue. But the tzak is not binding when it's an error. Tzak is binding even if you think it's an error. So why is it tzak that is a tzak is binding even when it's an error? So there's no shayla, there's no kashin. Why are we bound to listen to the rabbi? He's only a human being. Human beings make mistakes. Moshe Rabbeinu made mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Remember, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein never made mistakes. I was one of the Aiken. I was just talking the other day, went to the Nachmanov Rabbi, where Rabbi Jane Marcus. I was one of the eight men on his tzuba. Moshe Feinstein was his neighbor. So Moshe was Masabi Bush and he filled out the tzuba. He wrote the wrong date. He wrote the wrong date on the tzuba. I would have known what the right date is, but the week before was like Bayar, Tuba Shvat or something. So it's obvious that the date was wrong. So I remember him shaking. So I said, but last week of Tuba Shvat, not Bayar, whatever. Moshe said, oh yeah, that's right, so I had to fill out a different suit. Human beings all make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Stupid mistakes, I mentioned mistakes, everybody. So why is it Tzak Halacha ever binding? We're dealing with human beings. We don't believe in an oracle. We don't believe in that. A human being can make a mistake, so why is it Tzak binding? So the answer is that we're supposed to have a Munas Chacham. We're supposed to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a divine assistance to the Talmid Chacham that he shouldn't make a mistake and they should pass him properly. He doesn't always give the divine assistance. We assume the Gemara in the beginning of Sotah, Kosh from Tilim, Sotah Hashem Lireyev, Abrisa V'Hodiyam. So Sotah Hashem Lireyev, that's if the Tam Chochem is a Yirei Shamayim. So we assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu will probably reveal his secrets to the Tam Chochem, then he shouldn't make a mistake. So the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Aseh L'Harav, you have to pick a Rebbe. So what are the qualifications that you have to see in the person that you should pick him for your Rebbe? So first qualification has to be a Yirei Shamayim. So Yirei Shamayim. If it's obvious that the Rebbe is not a Yirei Shamayim, maybe if he knows how to learn a lot, he's a super genius. But if it's not a Yirei Shamayim, so we don't have this Hasoka that the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to help him and guide him that he shouldn't make a mistake. This is really a miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a divine assistance. It's a nice mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do. What if the rabbi is not learning at all? The rabbi is not a tamtam, not learning. So we should have him, he's a big Yirei Shamayim, but he's not learning. So you want the Baruch Hu to make mamash a nice mistake. As the Pesach says, Vayiftach Hashem Tzivos. The Pesach should make a miracle. He should give a divine gift that the Rabbi should always be Mechav HaMitzvah. So we can't expect of the Rabbi Shalom to make an Eisidah. So you have to pick a Seil of a Rab. You have to pick a person who's a Yerushalayim mind. Otherwise we don't have the Haftoch HaSoyer Shalimim. You have to pick a person who seems to be a Talmud Kohen. How does one know he did Makrina? You ask around. You ask your Shabbos to someone whom he has a reputation that he's a learned person. Sometimes a person is probably very learned, but he's not an honest person. He's a racial mind in his own life. But he's not honest when he deals with others. Rabbi has Balabatim. He knows the Balabatim are only looking for kulas. So he'll always tell him, Lahakel, even though he doesn't really think that it's right. He'll tell him, there is a sheet that is Lahakel. Or some Balabatim are always looking for hummus. In the summertime, I go to Tanisville on vacation. So there's a certain Chassidish Rebbe who goes there from Flatbush. So he's always encouraging me, Pershal, you should move to Flatbush or from Shtibol, Nusach Ashkenaz. They have very few shuls in Nusach Ashkenaz. They get a lot of followers. Yeah, the people will love you, but one thing, Pershal, you don't have to tell about the bottom all of your coolers. In Flatbush, they're not interested in coolers. That's dishonest. If I'm going to teach them, I have to say my honesty with Mr. Din, what the din is, and I'm going to be dishonest. So there are Rabbonim who just want to make the Balabatim happy. They know the Balabatim are only looking for Chumers and Flatbush or wherever they are. So they'll always tell them the sheet that it's not. They know the Balabatim, these Balabatim are always looking for Kulas, so they'll always tell them look. So that's being the Rabbonim. So you have to have a person who's learned. The Seilah Rab should be someone who's learned, should be a Yerusha mind, should be an honest person, should be a Bar Seichel. Unfortunately, the many Talmud Chacham who are Tipshin. They don't even understand how to apply the din. They know all the din in the Shulchan Aruch by heart, backwards and forwards, inside out, outside out. They don't know how to apply the din in the Shulchan Aruch to real life. You have to have a person who thinks to be a bardas. You shouldn't be a tipish. The Gemara recommends. The Gemara says that in the many disputes between the Bisham and the Bisibul, the overwhelming majority of the cases we pass by like the Bisibul. The Gemara gives reasons why. So one reason is because they were more humble than the Bisham. It doesn't mean Bishamai were arrogant, but the Bishamai were more humble than the Bishamai. So why should they be zechet that the halacha should be like them because of their humility? They should get when they graduate college, they should give them a humility award. So, but why is this chayr that the halacha can also be caused down? So the Pashat Shach people are in the Gemara. If a person is arrogant, so whatever occurs to him, he's a super genius, whatever occurs to him on the spur of the moment, don't say that's the din. Then someone will argue with him, so he'll want to defend his position. He'll be embarrassed to give in to say, I made a mistake. So he'll keep on insisting, can only defend your position. You stand on your head, you confer in for all the kashas. There's always sharing to reason learning out. There's always going to be a difference. So if a person is more humble, the more humble he is, so the more chance there is that he'll be mechaven alem. So listen to what other people have to say. And he'll be mechaven alem. So you have to pick a Talmud Chacham, who is an Isha Emes, who's not a tipesh, not a fool. And he's humble, and he should be a person, not a nervous person who doesn't have any patience. But some people, you start to tell them the Shabbat, they give you a psak before you finish the story. You can't get a psak before you finish the story. You know, those who learn Gemara Shulchan Aruch, if there's one detail off, so the din is already not so. Hilchos Basa B'chol only has one sif. There is simanim and sifim. If it's like this, it's also ba'anoa. In Atara, if it's like this, it's muta ba'anoa, it's ba'chila. It's like that, it's muta ba'chila. So many details. So you have to have patience to listen to the whole story. You have to take a Talmud Chacham has patience to listen to the whole story. And then in addition, you have to pick a Talmud Chacham who's on the same wavelength as you are. A lot of times you'll have a shayla. That's not the shayla of Havalik Tfilin. Shabbos of Hashkofer. So there are various Hashkofers. And a lot of times we think that Eliyahu and Dibbili Kimchai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan that he wanted to have Yud Bei Shvatim. And each one of the Shvatim had its own Sanhedrin. In addition to the Sanhedrin Dervish of Yerushalayim, the Mishnah tells us in the first paragraph in Hurry is that every Shevet had its own Sanhedrin. Rabban in his commentary on Chumash on purpose that that's the meaning of the Pasuk. In the beginning of Parsha Shoshim, people lacha lishvatecha. What do you mean? If you have a bezin bechol year, people lacha bechol sheyarecha lishvatecha. Bechol sheyarecha, Every city has a bezin. What do you think every shevet has a bezin? A shevet consists of many cities. Every city has its own bezin. Rabban says, no, this pasuk is the marker for the institution that's recorded in the Mishnah in the first paragraph. That every one of the Yud-Bei Shlokim had its own Sanhedrin Gedolah. Rabban is not sure whether the Sanhedrin Gedolah shall call shevet the shevet consisted of 71 or 23. He's not sure. Remember, when we learned this, Rav Soloveitchik thought, when we learned Sanhedrin, Rav Soloveitchik thought, it doesn't make sense to him that it should be 23. If it's 23, so why are they on a higher level than the other Sanhedrin? But many of the cities had a Sanhedrin count of 23. So why is the Desna Gola of the Shevet more authoritative than the Sanhedrin of 23? He thought it should be 71. Whatever, Ramban is not sure. So what's the idea of having 12 Shvatim, and each Shevet has its own Desna Gola? So the Mefarshim explain, I think in the Palatanya, the Tanya quotes from the Zohar on the passage when Yitzchak Avinu was old and he wanted to give a bracha to Esav. So he requested of Esav, he should go hunt and get some flesh from me. But say they matamim, they make me different machom, he wants to eat different machom. So the Zohar poses a funny question. When he serves you some steak and you're still hungry, so take another piece of steak. Still hungry, take another piece of steak. Why do you need those vegetables and those vegetables and those vegetables and a bowl of soup before, and you get the fish and a dessert and a this and a that? Have some more flesh. The answer is that people enjoy variety. I say in my family, human beings enjoy variety. They don't just want to have such a volume of the same mach. They enjoy various machom. So just like human beings, Haseli Matamim, in the plural, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates variety. Baruch Shalom, so to speak, gets born. All the Yidin going to do the mitzvahs exactly the same gets born. They want to have Yud Bei Shvatim, and every shape should have its own Bezmago, and they should like film like this, and they should like film like that, and they should do film like this, and say to the other, they would have Baruch Shalom appreciates variety also. Just like human beings appreciate variety, so too. That's where the Tanya quotes such as Zohar, commenting on that pasuk, Haseli Matam. So there is an institution of Yud Bei Shvatim, and we assume that Eilu Yehuda Divrei Kimcha. It's not that one was right and the other 11 are wrong. There are different mahalchim, there are different approaches, and many of the approaches are often correct. If they're all working with the Midrash HaTam and the Reshus Pen, if they all know, they're all looking at the same body of information, they all know the Midrash HaTam and the Reshus Pen, so all the perspectives are correct. What does it mean, Eilu Yehuda Divrei Kimcha? The Ritva on Eretim, where the Gemara has this, the end of the first paragraph. So the Ritva says that the Stama, what it means is, he has a tradition probably from the Rabbam, Stama, what it means is, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Kol HaTorah Kulo, the end of today's Sabbath, the 40 days and 40 nights. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rabbam, what's the din? In this case, they said that's us. What's the din in that case? That's Mutter. What's the din in this case? The Baruch Shalom told them that's a great area of halacha. It has Panim L'Kan, Panim L'Kan. Tzadim L'Hepet, Tzadim L'Yisrael. He leaves it up to the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Davador to determine based on their perspective of Kol HaTorah Kulo whether they feel that the elements of Hepet outweigh the elements of Yisrael. The elements of Yisrael outweigh the elements of Hepet. So if they're both looking at the same body of information, and each one has a different perspective, all the perspectives are correct. I see a shul full of people, and pews, and I see a ceiling with lights on, and a loudspeaker, but I'm sitting over here and I have one perspective. Some are sitting over in the back. They see exactly the same. Everybody has 20-20 vision with their glasses. Everybody sees the same thing, but with a totally different perspective. Someone else is sitting over there has a totally different perspective. So everybody's looking if they have the Yud Bei Sanhedrin for the Yud Bei Shvatim. They're all looking at the same body of Kol HaTorah Kulo. Sometimes you have a person, he's not familiar with all the Gemaras, he doesn't know all of Tanakh, he doesn't know all of Chumash. So what do you mean? He's not entitled to an opinion. But we're talking about people who are knowledgeable people, the 12 Sanhedrin of the 12 Shvatim, they're knowledgeable people, Tamid HaChachamim. And they know the Midrash HaTorah and Yosef Ben, but each one has a different perspective, and all the perspectives are correct. So based on their perspective, they feel that the elements of Hetha outweigh the elements of Yisra. Based on the other perspective, the elements of Yisra outweigh the elements of Hetha. That's what it means. That's how the Ritva says. Hello, the other Dibra Nikim Chai. That's what it's called from Rebbe Kedegir. And other development is say like that. There's a Gemara in the end of Taina Satin. Asa Rakam Shvachal Asa Smachal Asa Bikam Asa Bava Kam Shvachal Kam Lega Dance. So they interpret that a mocha means a circular dance. There's a square dance and a circular dance. A person can have a dance, he's going to be the emsa, all the tzaddikim are going to be dancing around him. Everyone will point. They quote from Rabbi Kevega and from others before him and after him that all the points on the circle are equidistant from the center. So Rabbi Kevega was a big misnagit. He was a yaket. He lived in Germany. And he had a son-in-law who was a misnagit. And the Sivas was a big misnagit. Also, was lust with the son-in-law who was a chesidisha. And they tolerated their chesidisha sons-in-law. So Rabbi Kevega said, he thinks that they're all looking at the Rabban Shalom from a different perspective, and they're all equal distance. They're all equal distance to the Rabban Shalom. They look at the Rabban Shalom. Always get bashed, fine people. They were opposed to the Hasidus, but they felt at least they look at the Rabban Shalom. So that's the idea of the Rabban Shalom. So we don't know who belongs to which Shaven today. We don't know. We don't have any Sanhedrin for each of the Shaven. We have different Mahalchim in Tzaka Lachat. From people who are knowledgeable, big time chacham, yeah, the Taz and the Shach and the Tzitz and the Sins, but not people who learn Torah, know their different opinions. And a lot of times you can't really prove with a right ruler from the Gemara who's right and who's wrong. So we usually assume in many cases, often we assume maybe we get a deal with Kimchai. So a person has to pick a Tafaseloch Arab. You should pick a person who's humble, who's knowledgeable, who has patience to listen to the whole Shaila, and so on and so forth, as Yirah Shemayim, all of the conditions. So you should also pick a person who has the same wavelength as he is on. I remember years ago, one of the Balabatim in Manhattan was relying on a Manhattan area. So who was the one at that time who approved Manhattan area? Certain rabbi who wrote Shuvahs, and he has a long Shuvah attacking Yom HaTzmaut. And this Balabat celebrated Yom HaTzmaut, so I said, what are you relying on him? He's opposed to Yom HaTzmaut. How can you rely on him? So he said, it has nothing to do with this Shuvah Meirah. It's not true. Everything is interconnected. Call it Arapudah Yinech. If you have an outlook, if you have what I would consider a crooked, a kruma outlook on Yom HaTzmaut, then your outlook on Erev is also crooked. I can't rely on anything that you say. It's a different perspective. He's right. He's right. But it's a different perspective. You're looking at Halacha differently. So you have to pick, each one has to pick the Talmud Chacham who is on the same wavelength that he is on. I remember several years ago, the big Talmud Chacham from Eretz Yisrael put out a book about his father, who was Talmud Chacham. So some of the Rabbanim in America made it easy, and Rabbi Reed put a cherem on the book. So the boys in Yeshiva were asking that they have to observe the cherem. So they asked, I guess, who signed the cherem? So they told him, Rabbi Yitzchok, so I said, did you ever ask any shaylos of these rabbis? They said, no. So I said, so what has that to do with you? Their rabbanim are giving a tzak for their people who ask them shaylos. You never ask the shaylos, you never ask the shaylos. So what has that to do with you? You ask your shaylos to other rabbanim. Ask this shaylos to your rabbanim, whom you usually ask your shaylos to. Do they think that it's also to read the book? If they think it's mutas, so you're not bound by the tzak of the others. It's an ishlof. Hashkotah and halacha. And I'm not bound by the tzak of someone else. I should ask the shaylos, the one whose outlook I understand, the one whom I always ask my shaylos to, because we're on the same way you are. We have an expression that's called daster. You see, when you ask a shaila of a rabbi, it's a very often it's in Shulchan Aruch the Feirush. So you'll find a machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah says this way, that way, the Taz, the Shach, and them have different opinions. So the rabbi will tell you his tradition. He thinks that this tzak is more favorite. So everything's in print. But a lot of times there's an issue that's not available in print. So we call that usually daster. The tzak of the Talmud Chacham is binding. Even if it's on an issue that you can look from cover to cover and all have a chel to shulchan aruch, you won't find any tzak. The expression das Torah is really a misnomer. The Gemara has the expression das Torah, but it means the opposite. The Gemara in the beginning of Gid Anoshe quotes a machloek yisat anoy. One time it's obvious that Gid Anoshe is only knowing in the right leg, not in the left leg of the animal. So the Gemara wants to know, is it das Torah or is it das Noyde? Das Torah means it's based on a pasuk. That's not to mean that it's not based on a pasuk, it's swerve. So, if anything, we should really call this das noyde. But the people who invented the expression heard such an expression in the Gemara, so they call it das noyde. It's a misnomer. Okay, but we know what we're talking about. It's not that thing. I never heard, these people say that Rav Soloveitchik said he never heard this expression until he came to America. In Europe, when did he come to America? And he was in his 20s, I think. He was a mature adult. He heard a lot in Europe. He spoke to a lot of Chabad, and he said, I've never heard that expression in Europe. They say that Rav Soloveitchik, who is quite a Tamachachim, he has to learn already, say that when the war broke out, and there was a people in Davis, what the people should do. So many rabbis said they should stay where they are and sit everything out. They shouldn't run. They should stay where they are. Everything will blow over. And many of the young Talmid HaChachamim didn't agree. They say that Rabbi Malan, when they say the Rosh Hashiva of the Nir Yeshiva, Rabbi Yehuda Finkel, had a lot of money, and the boys said they wanted money to run away. So he didn't want to give any money. He said, just stay here and everything will blow over. So he said, I'm on occasion, Rabbi Mal took a knife, and he said, you are right, if I'm going to kill you, he held the knife at his neck, I'm going to kill you, give me the money. And if not for the fact that he threatened him, they would have all gotten killed by the Nazis. So the same was, when they all ran away, Chaim Oyser was a big genius politician. So he told them everyone should run to Vilna, because they heard the whole history, Vilna was going to be a free city, not under the Germans, whatever. So they were all in Vilna. Then the Shah was, what should they do now? So Chaim Oyser thought, he was a big genius, he was a big politician, he thought they should stay in Vilna, they shouldn't run away, they shouldn't go through Vladivostok and go to Japan, he was opposed. And Rav Soloveitchik disagreed, and Rav Soloveitchik was a young buddy Talmachachim. So someone asked Rav Soloveitchik, he was an old man, how do you have the chutzpah to disagree with Rav Chaim Oyser? That's fair. So he said jokingly, no, that was before Das Torah existed. That was a joke. That was a joke. That's what he said. Right, so they said he never heard the expression. All right, never heard the expression. The expression didn't exist in Europe, but the concept certainly did exist. So some write that the concept was invented by the Aguda in Poland, because the Aguda in Poland was like we have in New York. We have Democrats and Republicans. So in Poland, they had a parliament. They had the Senate, and they had a lot of parties, and Aguda was a political party, and they had representatives in the parliament, the Reisha Rav, who was killed by the Nasser Baron Levine. Was the Aguda representative in the parliament? They said he was a Gewaltiger Darshan in Yiddish and in Polish, and many of his truths were written on the train. He writes in the Avnei Chayyim. So the Aguda would always encourage the Balabatim to vote for the Aguda, so they wouldn't use the Lashon Das Torah, but they would say, Halacha requires that you have to vote for the Aguda. Which Halacha? When Halacha is it? It's in Shulchan Aruch somewhere. So that basically Das Torah. That's the Rabbanim are saying whom you should vote for, even though you can't find it anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. So a lot of people have the attitude, a lot of times the rabbi says it didn't. That doesn't say, and the person knows that it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. So I would say, who stayed? Where does it say like that? They know it doesn't say anywhere. This attitude, who stayed, that's the attitude that the Karaim had. That's the attitude that the Tzidkim had. We only believe in Perush itself, and it's not Perush about that. Whatever you can point to chapter and verse, so it's not binding. That's not correct. We subscribe to the Perush about that. We go out of our way to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Perush about that. Omar says that we chomet on Shabbos to demonstrate that we're not from the Karaim. Karaim held you're not allowed to leave any fires on in the house. So they have warm food on Friday night, but they never have warm food on Shabbos morning. So we go out of our way to have chomet. But Omar says, well, if he doesn't have something warm, something hot on Shabbos morning, you have to check maybe he's a Karaim. The Rambam sounds like he writes, we go out of our way to be the Kaddish B'Kesef. Why Kesef? Kiddush Ishtar is Torah Shibuksav, and the Rambam says Kiddush Ishtar is Torah Shibuksav. The Rambam calls it Divrei Sefer. So the Rambam implies, we want, and none of the answer is, none of the Karaites had Kiddush Ishtar. There were Karaites in Europe, and Karaites in Asia, and Karaites in Africa, and all of them outside of Shavu Shibuksav, none of them subscribe, none of them hold from Kiddush Ishtar. So the Rambam sounds like he's saying, we go out of our way to be Mekadosh Mekesu to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat. That could be because it's Torah Shabbat. Though you have a nidig on top of the nidig, we don't give Kesu, we give a ring, we give Shabbat Kesu. So Shavakas said those who remember Kiddush in the first half, that's a whole pill called Taisus and Rishon. How do you know that Shavakas is good for Kiddush? So we do Torah Shabbat, Agabi Torah Shabbat. We do a lot of things like that. We go out of our way. Rambam writes that you can do a bris milah with a sharp instrument. You can use a scissors, you can use a knife, you can use a sharp piece of glass, you can use a sharp piece of metal, anything you want. And the meaning is that you use dafka a knife. Why use a knife? Would it make sense maybe to use the scissors? So Professor Simcha Asaf, he used to be years ago, and the Rabbi Nuh, he was not, he published a lot, but the Rambam, the Karoi, so he writes in one of his books, because the Karaites interpreted the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, Kachlocha Chagos Tzurim, Shumad is Bnei Sol Shein, so they interpreted, you have to use the scissors. Chagos Tzurim means two knives that cut one against the other. So the Rambam lived with these Karoi in Mitzrayim, so the Rambam writes, and then he goes, no, we call Israel. What do you mean call Israel? The guy who told do bris milah means the Orthodox Jews. But no goes on me by the Orthodox Jews is the Hoshim Leib and Shalach Harai. We would have to use a knife. We don't use the scissors. Don't you think that we follow the Karai? So we believe in Torah Shabbat there. We believe. There is a thing that's binding, even if it doesn't say anywhere. We believe HaKach BaLaKach, but the Kulba, if you look well enough in the Chumash, you'll find all the answers. In fact, in the days of the Tanaim, the Gemara in the first parak in Chorus tells that Agarta Sovid the Be'atuna, the Tanoim knew how to darshan Sukkim, the new Midrash and Tarim Rashis Behem in the areas of science. They knew how to figure out scientific information based on Sukkim and Parshas Bereshis, because God created the world. So that in the days of the later Tanoim, all of that will go. In the days of the Amoraim, the Ramchal has an essay where he points out from the Yoshim and Shiroshim, that there were Midrash HaTorah and Rashi spent in Agarta that were lost already in the days of the later Tanoim. Then the days of the Amoraim, the Gemara never has. Doshe Bechlal, Yosef Yudav HaKodesh, that does appear in the Gemara. But some of those Yudav HaKodesh never appear in the Gemara. The Amoraim, the only thing they darshan was Mamatzinu, Kamachayma, and the later the Rishonim and Acharonim, they don't know how to darshan these things. All the Midrash HaTorah and Rashi were lost. We don't know how to use. We just know how to use the Mamatzin with the Kalvachan. Medam and Milsa and Milsa, they must have called our code Medam and Milsa and Milsa. So, there is a big Torah Shabbat path, and there's a lot that you can figure out from Chumash by reading in between love. We don't know how to do it. But we know how to do Medam and Milsa and Milsa. So let's say just Chaldera HaMoshom. Let's say there's a jigsaw puzzle that has 1,000 pieces. You have 995 pieces, you're missing 5 pieces. The candle hunchdice and what the missing 5 pieces are. You have so much of the picture, you're missing 5 pieces here and there. So you can figure out the missing pieces. What if you're missing 500 pieces all over the place? So it may well be that you won't be able to figure out what the rest of the picture is. So if you go to a big Talmud Chacham, who knows 995 pieces of the jigsaw puzzle? Taka knows a lot of Gemara, knows a lot of Tanakh, knows a lot of Shulchan Aruch. And yes, the Mishayla that doesn't say anywhere. But it is a Shayla. Everything is a Shayla. Whom you should marry is a serious Shayla. You've got to marry the wrong girl, it's going to ruin your life. You're going to ruin her life. She's going to ruin your life. You go into the wrong profession, that's the wrong thing to do. You have to go into the profession that you best get out for. You live in the wrong city, you do Aliyah, you don't make Aliyah, these are all Shabbos and Halacha. Everything is a Shabbos and Halacha. A person is supposed to be, you have an election in New York, let's say. You have an election. So the Shem of Shabbos who was running for a position supported gay rights. And the ones who were opposed to him were Catholics, who did not support gay rights. So the religious Jews voted against the Shem Shabbos. Normally, when you have a Shem Shabbos Jew running against an office, of course, with your eyes closed, of course you had to vote for the Jew. But over here, with the Jew, with the Shem Shabbos Jew, was proud of the fact that he voted for gay rights. So he was voted out of office. He lost his position because the Orthodox Jew said, "This is Chil Hashem, what do you mean? In New York, it's Yadua. The Jews are for gay marriages, the Jews are for abortion, and the Catholics are opposed to homosexuality, and Catholics are opposed to abortion. As if all the Jews are for gay marriages. Ashanda Hakarka. So these things are all Shabbos and Halacha. Everything is a Shabbos and Halacha. There was a Musa Sefer, it's out of stock, people don't even know that it exists. There's a Sefer Yisrael B'Sharish HaAvodah. things written during the lifetime. There's a big time of often that didn't do, I think the same crime as the Vilna Gaon. The Mishnah Berurah recommends you should learn the Sefer, you say the Shavuot Shavuot and Kodesh Shavuot to prepare for Yom Kippur. Nobody knows what it is. The author's name is Rabbi Alexander Ziskin. So he said it's known as Baraz, B'nai Rabbi Alexander Ziskin. I think there's certain families in New York who were descendants from the Baraz family, descendants of this. I think the old place medicine while you. That this is the one, what's the name that they said? I think his wife was from the Baraz family. Anyway, so he writes in the Sefer, he said, Shosh HaVoida, he calls this Klal HaYachet Shabbal Chodesh HaVodas. The people usually assume that there are three areas. There are certain things they're obligated to do. You have to lay tefillin, you have to say creation, you have to daven, you have to eat matzah and mori, you have to get kiyush shofar. There are other things you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to be machal Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat shofar. You have to observe Taras HaMishpach. And everything else is rishus. If you want, you can do. If you don't want, you don't have to. So he, the Chodesh HaVodas, develops an idea there is no area of rishus. Everything is absolutely, there's no gray area. Everything is black and white. The area that you're not required to do and it's also to do, it depends. If you're really hungry, have another slice of meat. Have another piece of, have a piece of cake for dessert if you're hungry. But if you're not hungry, so you're going to be overweight. So that's an avera. It's not healthy. So you're not allowed to eat a piece of cake. You're not allowed to eat another piece of meat. If you're undernourished, you have to eat more. If you're not undernourished, I'm overnourished. Most Americans are obese. I also thought that it's a Jewish market. Then I realized it's an American market. And nothing to do with the Jews. It's an American market that's the obesity. That's the national sickness. So the Chodesh HaVodas says, there is no area of Rishus. The area of Rishus means that sometimes you believe to do it, and sometimes you're not allowed to do it. But it's not that it's optional. Nothing is optional. If a person is tense and he has to relax, then he's mukhib to relax. If he's not tense, and he doesn't really relax, so it's an aver, he shouldn't relax. He should do something, he should do avodas Hashem. I once said this over many years ago, so there was a Yekli Shefala boss, he used to come to my shir every week. So he's a very nervous fellow. So he said, he's very nervous, he said, what do you mean? But when I'm tense, I want to relax because I want to relax. What do you mean? Allah is going to tell me I have to relax. Then I'm not relaxing. I want to relax because I want to relax. Is it a good point? That's not a problem. This is what he said, Bishar Shabbat refers to as Klal HaYachos Shabbat Chayim Sabbat. So really everything is really a shayla. Whom you should marry is a shayla. And how many children you should have is a shayla. And what you should do for a living is a serious shayla. Where you should live, everything is a serious shayla. When you have elections, it's also a serious shayla. And you have to work out what's the tzak. So you should really go up to Big Talmud Chacham. And yes, in politics, everything is a shayla. In the elections, you have to vote for whoever is best for the Jewish purposes. The Puerto Ricans in New York vote for whoever is best for the Puerto Ricans, and the blacks will vote for whoever is best for the blacks. So the Jews shouldn't vote for whoever is best for the country, because the others are not voting like that. Everyone is voting based on their perspective, whatever is best for their interests. So the Jews should vote for the candidate who is best for the Jewish purposes. So you have to make a whole shot of the parent to determine. So years ago, there used to be European rabbis who didn't read English. They used to read the Yiddish newspaper. The Yiddish newspaper would have a faulty translation of last week's New York Times. So the rabbanim and half the story, faulty translation. So the European rabbanim would pass in political shilas based on the reading of the Yiddish newspaper. So does not go left there. Let's say you have a shila and traitors on the chicken. So someone's going to call me up on a telephone and describe it. You can't describe it. You have to look at the broken leg. Where is it broken? What does it look like? Someone has a shayla on a mara. Is it a mara tamara? You have to look at the mara. You can't just hear about that. But if you have a shayla of politics, you have a shayla of personal politics, whom should I marry, whom should I vote for, so on. National politics. You have to look at the mara. You have to look at the thing. If the one whom you're asking doesn't understand the players, he doesn't know who you are, he doesn't know who the girl is, he doesn't know who the possibility of the two girls are. So how can he give you a tzak on this? Adam Chutin, who lives in the Rova, many of you know him, Rafi Posen. So he I think mean his brother learned in Sabbath, and then he felt guilty. His brother didn't feel guilty. He felt guilty. Why is he not serving in the Sabbath? So he asked his disciple, Bishaita, he sent him a letter. And he asked him, is it okay if he goes to learn to carry me out? He asked his disciple, is it okay if he goes to carry me out? Because he feels guilty. Why is he not serving in the Sabbath? So the disciple sent him a letter, which was printed a couple of years ago, where he writes in the letter, I don't really know you. So I can't give you a tzak. If I don't know you, how can I give you a tzak? It's like passing on the chicken without looking at the chicken. But he said, he writes, it's a reasonable possibility. He can see that if you feel bitter, I'm not serving the tzava, it's a reasonable possibility. It's not cut out, not to be considered. So he went to carry on because the disciple gave permission to go to carry on. So Rabbi Goldman said, I'm Rabbi Rosh Hashiva, and wanted always to see the copy of the letter. And a couple of years ago, they printed it. Yeshiva printed that letter. An honest Talmud Chacham should say that. The guy's going to come to me and tell me, Ashala Badashiva. Even if you tell me that mark, for the last 6 years, I don't even know him well enough. I don't know anything about the girl. I don't know the boy well enough. So how can I give up sack if I'm not looking at the merit? If you don't know what the facts are. Rabbi Moses passed away, so Rav Soloveitchik was asked by Blazer Silver to deliver a hesed at the Agudas Yisrael convention. Blazer Silver lived in Cincinnati, as we all know, so he had the convention in Cincinnati. So they flew there. So all Rabban, he paid everybody money to have money, he paid everybody money. So the hesed was printed in Aparis Ephemus. So years later, the Shaita was printed when Rav Chaim Moshe died, 1941 or whatever it was, I don't know. And many years went by, it was printed in Haifa, and many years went by, then it was reprinted in one of the volumes, I think that Rav Soloveitchik has a copyright on. So then when it was reprinted, so the Aguda woke up, and they translated it into English, and they printed it in the Jewish Observer, because it had a whole history of Das Torah, what we call today Das Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik's theme was that throughout all the generations, the same kind of the word tzitz, word of ocean. The tzitz is on his brains, but the tzitz is on his brains, and the brains are where he works out all the shalos and halach. And the choshen, nishpot, is on his heart, where he has to decide, should we go to battle, political issue, should we go to war, should we not go to war. So Rav Soloveitchik's thing was that for many years, Amir Chachamim, who would be paskeling the Shalos and Basar B'Cholov, and Hilchos Shechita, and Hilchos Karubis, and everything, the rabbis who knew Shulchan Aruch, they would be the ones to decide the political issues as well. And in the recent years, the Maskilim were making fun of the Rabbanim, so they made a period over here, and they decided they're smarter than the Rabbanim. In all political Shalos, they should deal with the Rabbanim, should only stick to Shulchan Aruch. And the Maskilim who are not religious, not learning, not religious, they should make all the decisions on political things. So Rav Soloveitchik was saying that Rav Chaim Moshe was the big genius politician. Yeah, during the war years, when it came to war, no one knew what was in store. Rav Soloveitchik once spoke about that in public. How could it be that so many Rabbanim and Tzaddikim encouraged the Balabatim to stay behind in Europe? They shouldn't go there. To Israel, they shouldn't go to America. They shouldn't run away. They should stay there. How could it be they gave such a bad advice? And then he said once publicly, it was a period of Esther Park. And just like the Gemara comments about Rabbi Hanan Zakkai, when he left Yerushalayim, and he appeared before Aspasianus, and he said he's surrendering in the name of Jewish people. And Vespasian was taken by him, and he said, ask any, make a request and it will be granted. So he didn't request he shouldn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He just requested Tein li yad merachah ameha and give a report for Tzorek and so on. So I think Rabbi Akiva made that one. The late Tanan made a comment. What a foolish mistake. He should have said don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara said we understand why he didn't say that. If you ask for too much you get nothing. But the Gemara condemns him. He made a mistake. He made a cheshbon. His cheshbon was wrong. He should have said how did the HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such a thing to happen? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk. Meishiv Chachamim Hocher is daitem yisalek. The Rebbe Shalom sometimes suspends the normal judgment of the Talmud Chacham, who should normally make a normal decision, a correct decision, Baruch Shalom wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't give the normal answer to the Yechan. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. There was a period of Hestepanim, and it was mentioned Chacham Mokhev at Daikin Yisakel. It's not that we see that the rabbis never know what they're talking about, so that's a right, I'm not going to believe in Das Torah. No, we should always believe in Das Torah. But you have to have big Talmid Chacham who are looking at the Shabbat, they have to understand politics. Middle of the Second World War, no one understood what was going on. No one understood what was going to happen. Remember, our salvation once said, no one ever believed that it was going to be Hakam Asamadi. No one ever believed. He said he spoke, he remembered. He left Europe way before. So he said he remembers once speaking to Rav Chaim Oizer. I think when he was in Berlin, he used to travel to Vilna to speak to Rav Chaim Oizer. Says he once spoke to him when they were talking in the Ahnudi conventions and the Knesset about the possibility of Hakam Asamadi. Rav Chaim Oizer was a big super genius. He said, well, hair will grow on this side, on the part of my hand. That's going to be a Medina. Who believed that there would be a Medina who's the furthest thing from imagination, at least 150 years? Who would believe? And the Nashamai? It happened. So it's not a Pella, how can it be? No one understood what was happening at all during the wars, the centers. No one understood. But basically, we do believe in that story. All of the shaylas that are not mafurish are all, they're all shaylas. A person has to save his life, he has to run away. The shaylas, which is the best way to run away? So we assume under normal circumstances that the one who's a greater Talmid Chacham, he knows 995 pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, will be able to figure out the missing 5 pieces as well. And if he knows 995 pieces of the missing, of the jigsaw puzzle about an issue of politics, he knows these facts. Be able to figure out the rest of the, he'll be able to tell you whom to vote for. But if he's not looking at the picture, he's not in the Inyanim at all. So that's utterly ridiculous. So remember when the Aguda printed this Hesped in English, they translated into English to show that our salvation subscribed to that there. So remember at that time, the OU used to have a convention every other year on Thanksgiving weekend. Now they discontinued. So there was a convention 1 year. And Hillel Goldberg from Denver was scheduled to speak on Shabbos afternoon on the topic of Rabbi Soloveitchik's position on Das Torah. So I was fascinated to hear what he's going to say. So he gets up and he just reads the Hesped. He reads in part of it in Hebrew and English. He says, obviously Rabbi Soloveitchik believed in Das Torah at that time. He says, he does not. Maybe he changed his mind later. Obviously that's the whole theme of the Hesped. He subscribed to Das Torah. And then he'll open up the floor for discussion. So one rabbi jumps up and he says, no, Rabbi Soloveitchik clearly changed his mind. How does he know? Because he, when he was a bacher, he was involved in the SSSJ, this stupid struggle of the Soviet Jury, SSSJ they called it. And all the rabbis, all the European rabbis said they shouldn't make any public protests. Because the more you protest and the more Jews they're going to kill, they're going to torture the Jews in Russia, don't make any public protests. And the students thought that maybe it's not so. So he went to Rav Soloveitchik with the fellow, I forgot the name of the fellow, who is the head of SSSJ, and he asked Rav Soloveitchik in the dormitory, should we listen to the European Rabbanim or should we not? So he said, why, what do you think? So they heard from some expert on criminology, what do you call it? I don't know how to pronounce it even. That now is a good time to make appointments. So Rav Soloveitchik said, I want to meet the professor. So they made an appointment. The next Wednesday night, I was in the dormitory, they got the professor from, they took him a taxi from Colombia. He visited Rav Soloveitchik, and he told him that now the Russian government is very, very concerned about public opinion. In the past, they couldn't care less. Now they're very concerned. And if you're in a tunnel, they'll let a lot of Jews free. They won't make things worse, they'll let a lot of Jews free. So they should spend an hour with the professor. And he thanked him, and they sent him back home in the car. So then Rav Soloveitchik told this young bacher, he's now a rabbi, so he told the young bacher, go ahead, you should make the protest. So he said, obviously Rav Soloveitchik didn't believe in Das Torah, because all the European rabbis were against him. So this fellow sits down at the convention, the Olya convention. So Julie Berman jumps up and he says, what do you mean? Rav Soloveitchik was the Das Torah. What do you mean does believe the Das Torah? You can't pass it on the chicken with the chicken. If you don't look at the chicken, so Rav Soloveitchik, I don't know what the facts are. What's the information? So he looked at the chicken. by listening to the professor. If we heard from the professor that the government in Russia is now very sensitive to public opinion, they're afraid they don't want to go against the public opinion. So then he gave his asur, that they should go, that is asur. Why is that against asur? The other rabbanim weren't looking. They didn't know the information. They were missing information. So how can you pass it? How can you pass the truth of the matter? It's not even right that the rabbanim should give an opinion. If you don't know what the facts are, how can you give an opinion? I was just here the other day in Yeshiva Rishon, somewhere over here. So one of our opponents was speaking in public, right before I spoke. So he said, "Amashal amata l'day man." So he said, a person doesn't feel well, he has headaches, he goes to his general practitioner, goes to his local doctor says, and he tells him all the symptoms. Doctor said, "This is too big for me, you better go to a brain expert." He goes to the expert and said, "This is too big for me, you better go to someone else." Finally goes to the big expert, the biggest expert in tumors of the brain. The big expert said he needs a surgery. He has to have it right away. So then the balabos goes back to the first doctor, to the general practitioner. He says, "Do you think I should have the surgery?" So he says, "It would be a pshia. It's a chutzpah. The general practitioner does not, this is not his field. He's not allowed to open his mouth. How can you give an opinion? You know that you're not an expert in that. You know that you don't know what you're talking about. How can you give an opinion? You have to ask an expert." So that's what Julie Berman said. How can you express a das Torah if you don't know what the facts are? Years ago, the Rabbanim used to read the Yiddish newspaper, which was carried last week's news. It was a week's sale, and had this translation of what it said in the New York Times. I remember of Chaim Yankel Goldberg used to visit, every so often used to visit the yeshiva. And whenever he was there, when Rav Soloveitchik was there, in the middle of the week, he'd always make a point of visiting Rav Soloveitchik in his apartments. Every so often, they would talk about Israeli politics. He would come out of the apartment, and he says, "I can't believe it. Rav Soloveitchik hadn't been in Eretz Yisrael since 1935. And he said, "Guns in the new door of people," and he hit the nail on the head. He sized up every politician in the Knesset, why he said this and why he said that, what everybody's sheep is, what's behind all the sheep. He says, "How can he do that?" After that, he used to say, "Father taught me how to read in between the lines." He taught him how to read in between the lines in the Gemara, in the Chumash, and how to read in between the lines in the newspaper. He said, Rabbi Berzon also, Rabbi Berzon is a Chagal Rav, the father, told people also that Moshe Soloveitchik used to show them the Yiddish newspaper. He didn't read it. He not show the Yiddish newspaper about politics. They asked him, "How come he said this, and how come he said that?" He made him read them between the lines to analyze why each one had an opposition. The Chaim Yankel Goldberg said, "I can't believe it. Rav Soloveitchik hasn't been, he never met these people, these politicians and so." And he sized up exactly why each one said the sheep and what he's angry for, what he's driving at. Then it's called Das Torah, if you know what the maneuver is. But if you're talking, let's say, about a shinach, I don't really know the boy so well. I know him from he's in my shiur the last couple of years. I don't know the girls at all. So how can I give him advice? It's not fair. I'll give him advice. It's going to be the wrong advice. You have two people running for the office, and one is the Shem Shabbos, one is the captain. So I would say with my eyes closed, go for the Shem Shabbos, Abanda. But then sometimes there are other considerations, other factors. Sometimes the captain is better. We have it in New York. All the former Jews voted against the Shem Shabbos because he supported the gay rights. The Catholic was opposed to the gay rights. So there's so many different factors that are involved in the Shabbos. So you can't, it's not really right. And the part of the Talmid Chachamim, that's Moshe Lamad Davidov, like the local general practitioner, to issue an opinion after the expert says the guy needs brain surgery. So the local practitioner is going to say, "Okay, what are you talking about? You don't know the facts of the case." Das Torah, we don't believe in Das Torah like an oracle. We don't believe in oracles. A Seiluch Haran has to be a knowledgeable person, an intelligent person, not a teacher. She has to be a Talmud Chacham, has to be a Yirei Shamayim, has to be a patient person listening. Has to be a person who listens, has time to listen to all the details of the Shaila. The Nitziv had a son, Chaim Golin, for the first wife, Meir Barglanis, from the second wife. So the alumni of Yeshiva Chaim Golin in America put together money years ago, and they published a volume of collected letters, Shaila's letters, that were written by Chaim Golin. Then it was a bestseller. Then a couple years later, they put out three volumes of collected letters. They reprinted what they had the first time with more letters. So one of the letters in the first volume, I remember, was very interesting. A fellow was asking him about a shidduch. He describes he has an opportunity to marry either this girl or that girl. He describes all the miles and chazar, and he gives him a psak which one he should marry. This was really fascinating. I thought it was very fascinating. And then he writes in the letter, they lived under communists. So he writes in the letter, and please don't try to have a big family under the communists. So many of the children had children who were not Shomer Shabbos. They couldn't raise their children properly. He said, don't look for trouble, just have one son and one daughter, and you'll be lucky if you can raise them to be Shomer Shabbos, under the communists. He's giving him advice in life, in living, whom to marry this girl, based on the description that the guy sent in the mail. But if you don't know, he knew the boy was a Talmudist. But if you don't know the players, you don't know the people involved, you don't know all the details, so you're not allowed to give an opinion. That's not Dasper. Dasper is not an oracle. Dasper means it's a psak, taking everything into consideration. Everything into consideration means I'm listening, I have the patience, and I have the time, and I listen to all the details of the shah. Unfortunately, a lot of times people call the Das Torah with a Tam Chacham who's not known. Tam Chacham, he used to pull him, but he never passed into any shilas. How's that Das Torah? Das Torah means a person who's known as a person, the Mother Hayroah. The Gishmur doesn't make it worse, but it has to be a person who knows how to give a Pesach Halacha. So not only can he pass in on the 995 things that are explicit, he can probably figure out the five missing pieces in the jigsaw puzzle also. But if he never passes on Shabbos and Kashrus and Paras on Mishpacha, he only knows that a Pascha and other things that are not written. That's a farce. That's ridiculous. There is such a thing as Dastar. Dastar means one who is known as a Paisik. The disciple was never known as a Paisik. He never wanted to pass. Rav Shach was never known as a Paisik. He was known for giving Nakav Shiurim, okay, Gevaldik, for writing Kedusha Torah. They're not the people to ask for Dastar. You have to ask people who are known as Moira Hero, who passed the Shilas, and have a great guy that passed the Shilas on a national level, on a national and international scale. So not only can they pass on the things that are explicit, that they have text on, they can even pass on things where there's no text, provided that they're looking at all the, like any Shilas, right? They're looking at all the details. This, in my understanding, is what Dastar is all about. Okay.
I'm trusting
Dubi
to answer questions.
If I know the answers.
There was one comment that perhaps Rosh Hashiva can explain a little bit more, that Torah is holistic in terms of everything is connected, and we gave two specific examples, Yom Ha'atzmaut and Erevin, and that don't go to a Rav to get his Das Torah or his Das Noita if you don't hold like he does or he doesn't hold like you when it comes to Yom HaSa'ut, and don't ask him Shalos then Erevin either. So how does that work if Rabbi Yoshiv Zatzal held a certain way in Yom HaSa'ut, which is not necessarily a way that my local Rav might hold, does that mean I don't go to Rabbi Yoshiv?
If you can have a rabbi who thinks like you, who agrees with Rabbi Yashiv and the Erevin, is good. But if you're a local rabbi, you think like your local rabbi. If your local rabbi is entitled to an opinion, sometimes he's not a barachi. Sometimes he's entitled to an opinion. Sometimes he is entitled to an opinion, but not in contrast to Rabbi Yashiv.
Does that mean that the local Rav can't ask a shayla then to Rabbi Yashiv?
He can ask a shayla, but then the local rabbi has to chew it over and absorb it in his mind to see whether it fits in with Dr. Erevin, whether it fits in with his understanding of Erevin or not. I think so. I remember once Israel Miller, Zohar Lebracha, was a guest in Yeshiva on Shabbos. So I remember by Shabbos Shunas that was sitting near him. So one of the boys made a comment that in YU we don't believe like the Aguda. They believe in the Gdolim, asking the Gdolim. We in YU believe that anyone who has Smith is entitled to the same opinion. So Rabbi Miller, Dr. Miller, got up and he said, I don't think I'm entitled to the same opinion. Rabbi Yashiv, that's the Moshav thing, I think. Rabbi Yashiv says one way and I say the other way, I'll give in to Rabbi Yashiv. Okay, because it's a different league. But you really should go, really, the Gemara has this thought, the Sefer, like, call the Torah, everything is interconnected. So if you don't agree with the way a person's attitude on one thing, it's gonna be connected with everything else as well. It's gonna be interconnected.
I think we say that everything is that to allow. Everything has an answer halachically. If someone decides to wear a blue tie or a red tie, or to eat this kind of a cheese or the other kind of a cheese, that's not everything is Torah.
Okay.
So then the question is: so what do you have? The Hasidim ask everything. The Mitraim ask less. How do you know even what to ask? Because this is what comes up in terms of politics. Why is everything? Why every question has to go to a rabbi? Isn't there a certain aspect that a person can decide for himself?
See, the red tie, the blue tie, the lady of son in law.
Now, blue and green.
Because sometimes the rabbi will give an opinion.
If you're talking of Sukkim, if you go to Pesachim.
Okay. There are certain things that are talking absolutely Rishis, yeah. But in politics, usually it's going to be a big nachemina, whether this guy's going to be voted into to the state senate, or the other fellow's going to be voted in. They're going to take different positions on different things, and it's going to affect the Jewish community. So the Jewish community has to make a decision to vote against the Shabbos. A lot of times it is. The decisions that they're making, we have a Chodesh in Shtadlus. We have to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Okay. We have a Chodesh in Shtadlus to make believe, to act as if he's not running the world. We have a Chodesh to try to see to it that our things, that our needs are taken care of. Hashem Yuach, and that's what about Hashem Yuach and Mechem, Atem Tachrishim. He'll make the bread, but you have to plow. You have to do some Shtadlus. So the Shtadlus should even, there's an election. You have to vote for the right candidate. So you have to decide who's the right candidate. Everybody has pluses and minuses. But sometimes the plus of being a Shem Shabbos and the other guy's a Catholic, sometimes the Catholic is better for the Jewish purposes because of all the other baggage that the Shem Shabbos carries with him. You have to determine what's better for the Jews. So that's Dr. Simi Shabbos and Halach. Can't just say everyone, Ishkar Yashavim. It's going to affect the whole community. This, I think, was in Queens this month. It was in Queens 2 years ago.
Shiva mentioned in the beginning about the Raman, Reish Mandalad, about that the Gadol HaDor has the status of the Rabban Mufak. What is the category of Gadol HaDor? In other words, just the guy that's sitting somewhere else I've never met before, as Rosh Hashiva said, I have to listen to him. But on the other hand, if I don't believe with, for example, the Yamat Smooth, for example, is he considered from the Gadol HaDor?
It's unfortunate that in recent years there's no person or even group of people whom we can really look up to and say that these are the Gedolei HaDor. I was just mentioning it to explain how do we know that the Pesach of my Rebbe is binding. Who says it's binding? The Posseg only says the Pesach of the Bez Nagol HaBinding. I explained the reason why the Pesach of the Bez Nagol HaBinding, because since they're the Gedolei HaDor, they have the status of Rabbi Mubik, and that's the basic bit. The Pesach of Rabbi Mubik is binding on all of those for rescuing the Shabbos. Now, other rabbi gives a Pesach, he's not my rabbi. He's not my Rebbe moving. I'm not willing to listen to it. But if my Rebbe moving gives a Pesach, so I have to listen to his Pesach.
The question that's coming for the background is that certain, for example, sectors will say, well, this is the Gadol HaDor. The question is, can someone point and say that he's the Gadol HaDor?
Unfortunately, in recent generations,
in
the days of Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says it was Muskim Lahiniach Kemaisa Beretz Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva was permitted to be the Kaddish Kodash, Mahabashan Chutzlah. He was the undisputed recognized Gadol HaDor in Israel. Unfortunately, we don't have that in recent years. Each group thinks, the Babaja think their Rebbe is the Gadol HaDor, I think their Rebbe is the Gadol HaDor. Every yeshiva thinks that their Rosh Hashiva is the Gadol HaDor. Is it left with nothing? Left with nothing. You don't have a list of 71 people that everyone would agree upon. But left with nothing.
You mentioned that a rabbi or a Gadol has to have the patience to listen to all the facts. A lot of times when the facts are not ever available to the rabbi. When you think about, you had someone going to your shir for 6 years, a lot of times people can't even be honest with themselves, they don't know who they themselves are. No rabbi will ever be able to answer better than the person themselves about who they currently live to marry. Or, I mean, I've had people come to me telling me that their rabbi told them to do this or that treatment. And, you know, a rabbi, unless he becomes a doctor, is not going to really know whether to do this drug or that drug. And it seems to me that there are issues that are clearly out of the realm of being a rabbi.
Absolutely, I agree. The rabbi shouldn't have the chutz to give an opinion if he doesn't know what he's talking about. Absolutely, I agree. People ask me answers about shidduchim. I can't tell them yes or no. I just bring up points. Keep this in mind, keep this in mind. But I can't make the decision. I don't know him that well. And I certainly don't know the girl at all. Even if I know the girl a little bit from the neighborhood, I don't know them that well. You're right. That's what I'm saying. The rabbi should refrain from expressing positions on issues where they're not familiar with all the facts. Then that's sufficiently familiar. So if you're not looking at the chicken, you can't pass on a shot on the illustrators. We don't believe in that story like an oracle, like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah from centuries ago.
Right, but well, when then the corollary of that is things about, Rav Soloveitchik said that after 67, they asked him what to do about the Shtachim, and he said, ask the generals and the politicians, because they're the experts. So once you're saying that, then we define Das Torah as applying to other things outside of the four parts of the Shulchan. So when you're talking about political decisions and medical decisions and all these other things which people are referring to as Das Torah, then, and you yourself said that rabbis don't have all the facts, then really it becomes, there is no Das Torah then.
No. People ask me often medical shaylos. So I speak to the doctor himself, and the doctor tells me, if you do this, this will probably happen. Do that, that will probably happen. And he only has so many days to live anyway. So after the doctors give all the information, then a rabbi has to pass on what the din is. So as you said, after the 67 war, you have to consult the generals. Then after they tell you the information, then the rabbi has to make a decision what Allah has to say about this. The generals are going to make the decisions based on their information, based on their hashkafah. The hashkafah doesn't necessarily correspond to what the Torah has to say. The rabban had what to pass them, but they can't pass them without first listening to the facts that the generals know. But after they get the information, then the generals are giving their suggestion of what they think is more important from the Dinas Yisrael. So the rabban have a different opinion of what's more important from the Dinas Yisrael. There is halach involved, but you can't pass them without knowing the information. That's what he said. I was always had to listen to the professor from Colombia, and then he took a stand. But first you have to know the information. Ask him. You can't pass him without doing it. But if you know the information, then a lot of times you do need a tzar from a rabbi. The doctor's going to say, pull a plug. The Allah doesn't bid you to pull a plug. The Allah says, in a nicer way, to do it in a different way, just don't give him more treatment. Just discontinue him. You don't kill the patient. Now let's pull a plug. But the rabbi can't pass him before he listens to the information from the doctors.
Previously, regarding the story of the 1950s with Esther Shashkias and Puzzlars, and whether or not the people in America should use, if Stott and Rowe held that people should not be messed with Puzzlars, and the Rav said that one should use an Esther from America Israel even after Shvias. And Rabbi always was very, very harif about people that thought this was due to the political opinions of the Rav and Samarov, and really had nothing to do with their opinions of Zionism versus anti-Zionism. But now we're hearing that even Erevin is connected to a person's psak regarding Yom HaTzmaus.
I just said, everything's interconnected. You approach Shilas with certain attitudes. So the Talmud Chacham has certain attitudes on Hilchus Avelus and Hilchus Erevin, Hilchus Yom Tov, Hilchus Yom Ha'atzmaut. He has his attitudes. Other people have different approach to halacha. So you should be consistent. You should ask all the shalos to the same Talmud Chacham. You shouldn't ask the shalos of Erevin to this person and the shalos of Yom Ha'atzmaut to the other person. There may be contradictory in the approach. If this Talmud Chacham has a certain approach and that led him to believe the Erev is good, maybe the other one who holds from Yom HaTzmaut, based on his approach, maybe he would hold the Erev is no good, because everything is interconnected. Gemara says that. Kol HaTarakul Inyanah. Everything is interconnected. You learn how to Mamutzin or Kalachan and Midinecha Bahaveira, because that's the assumption. Kol HaTarakul Inyanah.
In a case where a person does have that posik that they can go to that fits all the criteria of Shefter mentioned, and go for, let's say, a very personal question, like a Shidduch question. So Shefter's using the terminology of the posik's giving a psak. What degree of binding is that? A person goes to ask a shayla on a shidduch. They have all the rav fits the bill. The rav says you should marry person X, and maybe the person's in doubt. Maybe the person's not 100% sure. Does it really rise to the level of psak the way we see it always?
Don't stop psak. There's a common problem. You have to marry this girl. Question is he entitled? Is he allowed to give such a psak? Does he know sufficient information? Just tell him the girl is Jewish. That's all.
Let's assume he has information. He knows you. He's patient. He's not a tipish. All the criteria.
Okay. Then the psak is fine. Then you get to marry the girl. I would think so. It's all off on the
hand. With asking every shaykh or every halachic issue to a rav, doesn't that create a tremendous burden on the individuals who have to get the tzav halacha? They have to be patient. They have to hear every shadow, starting from the red type to the green type, all the way up to shidduch. And the burden is tremendous.
That is true. I was in the rap with it for 5 long years, and then I got smart and I retired.
Also, doesn't the fact that you ask people or tell people to ask all these questions to their opponents, it's very appealing because then they don't have to take responsibility necessarily for their actions. They're offloading their responsibility onto someone else, and they can always say that, oh, the rabbi said to do it. They lose personal responsibility for your actions.
They don't lose personal responsibility because the rabbi gives the tzak, the computer gives the answer based on what information you put into the computer. So the rabbi gives the tzak based on whatever true or false information or partial information the balabas sent him. So the balabas may decide only to give him half of the story to leave out the other half, so he hopes the rabbi will give the tzak in that direction. So he doesn't lose the responsibility. If the balabas really honestly gives all the information to the rabbi, then he's talking not responsible for his decision. And the rabbi gave no tzak. But usually the balabatim don't give the whole story. They give half of the story because they want the rabbi to give them tzak in a certain direction. Present company.
How is anyone supposed to know? Rosh Yeshiva gave a lot of examples where people of great stature who made decisions based on bad information. And, I mean, if someone imposed a ban on a book in a language that he doesn't understand, and maybe he did have someone sit and go through it word for word, or maybe he didn't, but I don't know. So, and what right do I have to assume that he read a bad translation of the New York Times?
So I told the students, did you ever ask any of these rabbis? I said, no, they never asked this one. It's not your person. Yes, the rabbis and yeshiva. We ask all of the other shadows.
But I'm saying in general, in terms of no, clearly the rub is allowed for the possibility that there are people of great stature who will still make decisions based on faulty or incomplete information.
So that's the disaster.
Where does that leave us?
If they're paskening on a chicken without looking at the chicken, so they don't know what they're talking about.
So where does that leave the guy on the street? What does he do?
Guy on the street, you have your local Orthodox rabbi. He has his eyes open, and look at the chicken, look at the mire, and he explains all the shadows, all that's done, and tell you what the din is.
When speaking about being able to read in between the lines, which I think perhaps is connected also to the aspect of Hadracha and also Siyata Dishmai, that the list that Rosh Yeshiva gave, Yerushalmayim, Talmud Chacham, Ami, Balseya, etc., do we give, where do we apply the most weight to that list? There's like Yerushalmayim. So in the total mix, let's say there are, Bez Hashem and Baruch Hashem, many Rabbanim, who have this list, but one might be considered a bigger Yerushalmayim, but not necessarily a greater Baal Seichel. So, or an Anivus might be very strong, and Yerushalmayim might be very strong, but in terms of knowing Gan's Torah, may be lacking. So, where do we create the proper mix? And where do we ascribe the right balance in order to say, well, nobody has everything in its complete form, so how do I approach the
I
top three?
I choose the best under the circumstances. I choose the least of all the evils. I don't know. That's a very serious challenge. You got to ask one of these
big humble. Rob mentioned during the Second World War, the period of Hester Fahmy, so it's hard to give an answer given one reason to say for that Ema Bonim Smecha, we see that there were individuals who did give, had the right approach, at least in retrospect. So, how does that fit in?
The same thing, and then he held that I should stay behind, and the younger people said it's ridiculous. It's a good thing they didn't listen to that. Some saw it and others didn't. What Rav Zelig Yatzin said, he disagreed with Chaim Moshe because that was before Das Torah existed. I don't think that's that he said that jokingly. He had a difference of views. He's a very pleasant person. What he meant to say was that he was positive that Rav Chaim Moshe Pesach was wrong. The Halacha says you have to listen. I feel it near me and I mean, it's small near me and I think that he's wrong. But if you know that he's wrong, so then you're not allowed. It's a minion of Tzachanas and Bosh, so for sure, if you're not positive that he's wrong, so you're not allowed to listen. You're not allowed to listen to such a
case. The Aron of Christian a few years ago was discussing this part of the Gemara that says that Ben Dan, Ben Dim, Ben Nega, which seems to be limiting the areas that one would refer to. Rosh Hashem's Bokhma seems to be most areas of life.
Everything is a shadow. That's what I said. The Sefer Shadow refers to this as Kvav HaYochan, Shabbat Chodesh Avot, that there is no area of Rishus. Everything is Chayda. The Gemara, the beginning of Soita, has a Machloikas, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, regarding three Tzuki. Lo Yitama, Lo Yilan Tavoidu, Kinyan Sishtoi, but it's a Chayda or a Rishus. The Gemara first suggests, Reino, but how come the Kliwi should I say that that's Machloik, is there such a thing as Rishus? Mars is not a different machloek, but that's because Mars is driving at this concept that the Chodesh Halva says. He says there is no area that's Rishus. You don't have the right to pick whether you want to marry this girl or that girl. You have to marry the girl who is best for you under the circumstances. But you have to make a calculation. You should have to consult the Talmud Chacham. So if the Talmud Chacham knows you inside out, he knows the girl inside out, who is highly unlikely, you're going to know both of them, but you have to listen to this Pesach. But those Talmud Chachamim are honest with themselves. So they're not going to give up Pesach. They'll just bring to the attention of the Shoel pointers that the points that she keep in mind. Don't think the girl is going to change after she gets married. She promises to change after whatever she is now, that's what she's going to be. You can't have the girl think the boy promises he's going to change after. So you bring up these points. Or usually the boy is going to, at the age of 50, the boy is going to look and act like his father acts now at the age of 50. But usually the case, you just bring this up, it's not 100% of others. Usually that's what it's going to be.
So basically just the same, it's just different sections of life.
Yeah. The only one is called a dare. Now there is a real khan killa hatara kol chelke hatara kul. Dama dam dina 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 dina, it's called a hatara kul. Everything.
I guess even within the Rebbe spoke about, if you want to say, Eilu, but certain times you have a couple people that at least in your mind, fit the bill, and they have diametrically opposed opinions on minute thing, on 99% of the time they agree. But for instance, for Gatham, so you have people that grew up in the same sheep, with the same band, with seemingly the same Ashkenazim and everything. And one will tell you it's a right to get drunk on Purim, the other one gets drunk every year on Purim himself. And he says, not these guys drink during the year, once a year they drink on Purim. And you're good either way, you're not going to know how to act yourself. When you two are banging, do mamas directly opposed, opinions on that?
The Gemara says if you have a group of rabbis, you follow the rabbis. If it's 50-50, so if it's a din the raisi, you go to the chumra, din the rabbi, go to the chumra. If the din the rabbi is going to the chumra, you have to take the chumra out of there. You know? You have to bring on cotton, which is the chumra,
Is there room what Rosh Hashiva has described for the Rav to give an ace as opposed to a psak?
It would be a smart idea. They should stop giving psak and they should give aces. They should bring out ideas to the shoyal, keep this in mind, keep this in mind. How can they give up track if they don't know all the details of the case? So a lot of times nobody knows. Okay, nobody knows. The doctors don't know all the facts either. The doctors have to tell the rabbi all the information that the rabbi has to give up track. So a lot of times no one knows all the details in the political scene. You have to tell the poysik has to listen to all the details that are available and give up track. but it doesn't have the patience to listen to the whole story and the whole political background. He said, she said, has no patience, so he shouldn't give any tzokin. He should give a recommendation. He should say, keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. If this comes up, so it's more important to this than that. But he can't give a tzok. How can he give a tzok if he's not looking at the fact of the case? It's not right. Can I get a din? It's like an oracle. That's from the Ogdi Avodazar. We don't believe in oracles.
So it's been rumored that some of the great rabbanim of our generation, past generation, have been swayed or possibly manipulated by people that surround, especially in older age, people that have surrounded them. And it's impossible to know when you hear a psak from a certain gadol whether that's actually whether they have all the information or not. How can you rely on these psak that are coming from that are printed psak and that you don't know what information they've gotten?
The big problem. A major problem. Okay. That's it. I agree.
If I understood correctly, this idea that a person's Rav Pshak is binding, whether it's in, formal halakhic matters or these other matters that we're talking about. If I understood correctly, you're saying this is based on the idea of that you're not allowed to be more halakhic than Rav. But doesn't that mean, what is it based on? It's the idea that you have to tell your Rav Pshak. Is there a halakha for that?
Yeah, it's also more directly looking on this law. So the person,
that's a person's Rav that it's referring to?
So the passage, it's not, the original passage is talking about Bez Nagol. Bez Nagol, there's a Chid Misa, but there's a Tamei Chasms against. So the Chid Misa doesn't apply to any Tamechah. But the basis of Asasur, the Gemara seems to imply, the basis of Asasur is, because the members of the Sanhedrin of the Gedolei Hador have the status of Rabbi Mufok. So the passage tells me that the Pesach of your Rabbi Mufok is binding on you. Unless you yourself are Chachim Shereigil Ha'irot, and you're entitled to disagree with your Rabbi. You have a lot of times Rebbe Rav Shimon Gamliel, the father and the son. And the son disagrees with the father who is his Rebbe. Because the son was a Chachm Shigil, I was entitled to his own opinion. But it's a Nuchom Mishki, but if you don't know what the din is, even if you're a Chachm Shigil, but you can't decide what the din is, then you have to ask Rabbi Mubak. So the Tzach of Rabbi Mubak is binding on all of his family. The Gemara says the Tamil Bisham, right? Father Bisham, even though they knew that Bisham was outvoted. So come to Rav Lezer, they always follow Rav Lezer, the Yuchal Shabbos, and Mashi Revila. Every community followed the Rebbe Mubak even years after the Rebbe passed over. That's the Yika did. Everyone should follow Rav Mubak. Unless he himself is a Chacham Shegiel or Ra, then he's entitled to his own opinions. He's permitted and obligated to express his honest and goodness opinion, even a disagreement with his Rebbe. That's a big question. How does a person make that decision that he's a Chacham Shegiel or Ra? I remember once in the summertime I used to learn in Tavis, I used to learn with all the single boys who were there on vacation. So there was one family there, they now live in Yerushalayim. So every summer the father was away in the city a whole summer, he would only come to Shabbosin, and he would buy me Svarim as a matana for learning with his children the summer before. So I remember once on a Thursday night he came up to the mountains for Shabbos. And he gave me a whole set of Shabbos of Jews. He always knew which sperm I don't have. So he always got me down the Shabbos of Jews very nice. So I was learning with the boys till around 11 o'clock, and then my wife is knitting, she's making the sweaters, and it's our grandchild or something. I'm sitting the other end of the room, and I'm looking in this for my new toy, looking in this sweater, and I have a big smile on my face. My wife says, "What are you reading there?" I said, "I'm looking at the new sefer that Yanko Habushan got me." So she said, "What's so funny?" So I said, the one who wrote the sefer thinks that it's a poisek. Mamsha Jok. He thought that it was God's gift to the world, his right to choose and all things. Mamsha Galata. It's not only our generation. In every generation, there were people who talked it into themselves that they're God's gift to the world, that they're Chacham Shehigil Ha'Ruach, that they're entitled to the opinion. You read their shoes. It's a joke. It's a joke. So that's a difficult decision that people have to make. Many people in our generation and earlier generation. I don't know if it's worse in our generation. In every generation, there are people who think that they're entitled to an opinion. They were just not. It's just a joke. Like the fellow said to Dr. Miller, isn't it why your position that all whoever has to make is entitled to an equal opinion? He says, of course not. Of course my father, Yasha, is entitled to a bigger opinion than I am. Of course.
In light of the recent Supreme Court ruling that there's going to be new elections now in Ramat Beit Shemesh, for
Supreme Court of Medina Sidon.
They just ruled yesterday, I think it was, that there's going to be new elections for mayor in Beit Shemesh, and it's going to be happening before Purim, a few days before Purim. So what aitzes, not psak, I guess, but what aitzes does the Rosh Yeshiva suggest we should consider in, I'm asking it really in Betim Salev, because of all of the painful experiences that everyone has experienced in the course of the last election, that Bezis Hashem, we should have aitzes that will guide us properly what to consider. And I hope I didn't raise like a hot potato. I'm just asking you, because I'm not one to give aitzes or
her. I have no idea who the candidates are. How many candidates do you have?
Basically two.
Only two? I have no idea. I have no idea who they are, what they stand for. And you have to, I don't know what issues there are here. You have to make a list of all the issues and try to tally. No, you're not going to get it. Everyone has pluses and minuses. Everyone has minuses. You have to figure out who has more minuses and fewer has
more. I had a Zaytas who was a big time problem, but he wasn't a Bagel Adar. And he was learning with me one day, and he came to the question of the Mosasa Yom Yisrael Mikosh Yehuda. I said, how could it be if I know it's red and the Bagel Adar says it's blue, how can I listen to him? He said, here's the real pshat. Real pshat is, if the God says, that you should tie your right shoe first and your left shoe second, that even if it doesn't make sense, you should tie your right shoe first and your left shoe second, because that's what the God said. But otherwise, if it doesn't make sense to you, you do what makes sense to you, not what the Bible said.
Correct. That's what the Rabban says, basically. The Rabban says, even if you think it, I feel it hearing me, that if you think it doesn't make sense. But if you're positive, it doesn't make sense, then you're not allowed to listen. The other thing is, a lot of times people jump to the conclusions, they think that they're God gifted, or they think they're so smart, that it's bad to understand. That's an eternal, in all the generations, that was a problem. People think that they're so positive of things, and it's not just so. Very good.